see how this goes tonight. I'm used to talking about computers, math, and networks, not what we're going to deal with tonight, but we'll just pray that the Lord will get the message across that he kind of laid on my heart. So, and the reading tonight is kind of the jumping ground off, and the concept that we're going to talk about tonight is why in many cases we don't seem to have the power or effectiveness that maybe we'd like to have in our Christian lives. And there's three reasons that I think probably are the some of the big ones that hinder us from being able to be more effective. And the first one that comes to mind is pride. And you'll notice that in our text tonight, you know, that having the mind of Christ, the Lord humbled himself when he came here to earth to be the ultimate sacrifice for sins. And a couple of references that I thought were kind of interesting reading was one is in James chapter 4 and verse 6, where it says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And, you know, the Lord, and then in verse 10 it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." And our Savior certainly went through some a terrible time there when he had to shed his blood to cleanse us from our sins, for those of us who are, would believe on the way that God set things up. But in the end, he's going to be the one that's going to get the glory, and he's going to be the one that people are going to worship, and it'll be, you know, like in verse 11 it says, "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So one of the things that the mind of Christ had while he was here on earth was he was humble. He didn't have pride. Another thing is unconfessed sin can hurt our effectiveness for the Lord. And the couple of the verses that I picked for this are in Psalm 66, verse 18. It kind of, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So that's kind of referring to our prayer life too. You know, if we have sin in our unconfessed sin in our lives, the Lord's not going to answer our prayers, and he's certainly not. We're certainly not going to be effective for him when it comes to witnessing to other people or things like that. Another verse that I thought would work well for this would be in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength." So, as we kind of look around and see what's going on in the world today, we should be well aware of the fact that, well, at least here in America, the number one thing is Americans have no fear of the Lord. They certainly have plenty of pride and arrogancy. And So I don't think people understand how much the Lord hates that. The world system has kind of convinced people that murder's bad and some of the other big sins like that, and in fact they are bad, but you know, God is always talking about some of the things he hates, and you know, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the forward mouth, and these are things that he's always talking about that we shouldn't have. Bitterness is another thing that we want to stay away from. So having unconfessed sin in our life definitely impacts the relationship we have with the Lord and our effectiveness as a Christian. Another, and the third thing that I think kind of impacts us in a negative way and keeps us from maybe getting over the top, or however you want to say that, is lack of obedience to the known will of God. And one of the scriptures that I thought this kind of fit for this was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So a lot of times, you know, people say, well, we don't really know what the will of God is. Well, we know one thing for sure is to give thanks. And it doesn't matter whether things are going well or whether they're going poorly, we're still to give thanks. And it's interesting that the very next verse is, "Quench not the Spirit." And so that got me to thinking, maybe when we don't give thanks the way we should, we are in fact quenching the Spirit. And there could be a tie-up there. I have no way to prove that, but it would certainly, I don't think it was just coincidence that that was the next verse. God definitely knows what he's doing, and he really does have our best interest in mind, but there's certain things that we have to do to be able to, and the way we operate in order to collect on some of his blessings. Another verse in this area is in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, where it says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." So here again, humbleness is fit in there, but so is love and mercy. And so I think not only are we supposed to love the Lord, but we're also supposed to love the people that we hang with at church or work or school or wherever, and be willing to show them mercy and forgiveness. And without those things being displayed or enacted by us, it definitely hurts the way we, our relationship with the Lord, and he won't be able to bless us the way he may want to. And I think Americans in general tend to measure success incorrectly. And it ties into probably the two most biggest idols that the average American has, and that would be wealth and education. And we certainly have been able to witness, at least in my lifetime, where the emphasis of education has taken us. It's taken us straight down. Now, it may have started with people throwing, you know, that lady going to court and getting the Lord thrown out of school, but it certainly wouldn't have been voted that way if people hadn't been already taught before they jumped into whatever profession they have and planted the seed for, well, is God really who he claims to be? And one day we're going to find out that he really is who he claims to be, and that many people are going to be unfortunately very sorry for their unbelief. Now that we've kind of looked at the side of what inhibits us from really being able to accomplish what maybe we could for the Lord, let's take a look at how the perfect example that we have here on earth is when Jesus was here, how he conducted himself. And the first thing that we noticed in Philippians there was that it says in verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a servant. And so one of the first things that the mind of Christ has, at least for while he was here on earth, was being a servant. And being willing to, and one of the ways he showed this too was in, in John chapter 13, another demonstration that the Lord gave us of being a servant is when he washed the disciples' feet. And in verse 5, John, I'm in the wrong book. And so, you know, after they just finished the Passover, and then he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So he not only talked about being a servant, but actually became one and gave this demonstration to the disciples. And in verse 13, you know, after he got done with that, then there was this additional conversation where he said, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. So one of the ways that we can gain the mind of Christ, I think, is by whenever we can or whenever we spot a need, helping one another out, in particular those that are a part of the household of faith. And by bringing up some of this stuff tonight, I'm not necessarily saying that we have a problem in any of these areas corporately as a church, or maybe even certainly probably not the individuals that show up on a Wednesday night, but for me, I find that I have to be reminded of things over and over again before it finally sticks and you start to conduct your life in the manner that you would need to. So not only was Christ a servant, but he was also, it also says that he was humble. And being found, in verse 8 in Philippians 2, it says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And in Proverbs chapter 22 in verse 4, kind of says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And so the Lord certainly, not only did he go through the death of the cross, but maybe even more difficult was when the sin of the world was laid on him and then the Lord had to turn his back and he had to take and deliver all that sin to hell. That certainly must have been an extremely difficult time for him. But we see that no matter what, you know, one of the things that was foremost in the Lord's mind was being humble, and that ties into the next thing that he was, which was obedient. So, you know, in the last part of verse 8 there where it says, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And another example of this is in Matthew, of his obedience and his concern of where his mind is. When we look in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15, it's time for Jesus to get baptized, and when he came to John to be baptized, but John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And notice the Lord's response. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. So, utmost in our Lord's mind during the whole time he was here on earth was obeying the Father and fulfilling the mission that the Lord sent him here to do, which obviously was to shed his blood for our sins, but also to be an excellent example for our people to follow and learn from. And he certainly was that, you know, when he dealt with the woman at the well, he was very, he did not let her off the hook as far as her sin goes, but he certainly didn't berate her about it or anything like that. He just said, go and sin no more. The only people that he ever gave a difficult time to that I can find in reading in the four Gospels was the religious crowd, the crowd that had been educated and was supposed to know the Scriptures, because he saw right through them. And in many cases, if you study it out, you know, they were there for show. That wasn't in their heart. And we don't have the advantage that he had on looking on people's hearts. So when people were converted because of his work here on earth, you know, he knew right away who was real and who wasn't. It's a little more, it's not as clear and cut and dry for those of us who aren't the Lord, but we certainly can observe people and see if they're really impacted and if they follow through and their actions actually represent what they say. So these are just some of the things that I kind of got out of that little scripture there a few months back when I happened to be reading through there, and it kind of hit me, you know, well, this let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it's a simple little verse, and it's not even a complete sentence the way it's punctuated in the Bible, but it has a lot for us to consider and to think about and work on. So that's just a little Bible study I had for y'all tonight.